For those of you who don't know, I've been here now for 18 years, a part of LifePoint, and had the opportunity to walk with many of you through different seasons. Pat and I, we've known each other for longer than I care to tell you. I mean, we've known each other a long time. We met each other on our very first day of seminary. This is back when you had to like go to a physical spot. Students, I know today you do this online. I mean, believe it or not, we had to go to a building, stand in line, and like pencil and paper. Pat and I met on our very first day of seminary in Fort Worth. Man, almost 30 years ago now. And so we were, he was the first in line. So he was number one. I was number two. Nothing's changed in 30 years. I remember this East Tennessee, he had red hair. In fact, he had hair and it was red then. We were standing in line to register, and he makes fun of me because I still tuck in a little bit, you know. He was tucked in at that point, and he had, I called it a kingdom kit. He had a briefcase. It was a hard shell briefcase, and he was as nervous as a cat that he wasn't going to get the classes that he wanted. And so he was standing in line, and he would run back and forth to a television screen, guys. I'm telling you, we had to look at it. It was green font, you know, the old dot matrix stuff. Look at it. Is that class filled up? Well, every time he would take off, he would grab that kingdom kit and he would sling it back. And I had bruises on my knees from him hitting me. Not a whole lot's changed. He is, you know, he's usually the funny guy and I'm the straight man. You know, I'm the butt of the joke, if you will. My revenge happens now, though, because he's not here. So if you got your Bibles, open up to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Before we jump in, I want to say, get a pencil, get a paper, something. I want you to take some notes. You're going to learn that about me. There are things that I want you to begin to catch. It's so important in the Word. The Word is supreme, and I want you to be able to see some things that you can begin to kind of go, oh, wow, I didn't see that, because what I'm learning, I want to be able to share with you, and so that then you can share with someone else. In 2 Corinthians, now by the virtue of the fact it's called 2 Corinthians, there must have been a 1 Corinthians. One of the unique things is really there were probably 3 or 4 Corinthian letters. If you read through 1 and 2 Corinthians, you'll begin to see that. I want you to see that. There are some letters that we don't have, but they're mentioned in 1 and 2 Corinthians as he's talking. So Paul, in Acts chapter 16 and 17, Acts 16 and 17, Paul talks about, or excuse me, Luke writes about the church being birthed in Macedonia and in Greece. And so he's writing about all the hardship that went into those churches being planted. And one of the things that we catch really, really quick when you read 1 and 2 Corinthians is that the church went south immediately. Paul, even though he was there, you had the Apostle Paul launching the church. He's still dealing with people who were messed up, people who were far from God, and how their lives needed to be changed. You see, in that day and time, the temple that was there, they were being saved out of what was like cult prostitution, just to be real honest with you, because it was the temple of Artemis, the temple of Diana, the temple of Apollos. And they would go, these people who are now followers of Jesus, prior to life in Jesus, they would go, and how they would worship in those temples is that they would have sex with the temple prostitutes, the temple courts. And Paul comes to them and he shares the grand gospel of God, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Their hearts are changed, their eyes are open, they respond to the gospel, and they're saved. Yet, it still takes time. We know, it takes time for our heart may be new, but we're still walking out of things as we're growing in Christ. Well, in 1 Corinthians, we find out all kinds of things they were struggling with, that church. We find out that they would come. Just like we studied, we are invited to the table. We found out in 1 Corinthians that they abused the communion table. When they would come together for communion, the scripture says, Paul says, you get drunk. You get drunk on the wine. There's nothing left for us to gather together. You're abusing the feast. We know that in chapter 3, I believe it is, Paul begins to say, listen, there are so many factions in the church. Some of you are of Paul. Some of you are of Apollos. You're saying you're of Peter. Listen, We're not of Pat, we're not of RC, we're not of David. He says, listen, Christ is the one who died for us. That's who we're of. You begin to read, I believe it's in chapter 5, he begins to really kind of get on them, and he says, listen, you guys in the church there in Corinth, you're celebrating an abomination. You're celebrating that a man is sleeping with his father's wife. Do you find that messed up? I mean, you're celebrating that. And so Paul writes them this letter to admonish them, to kind of challenge them. And we even read in 2 Corinthians that after he did that, he had to go and confront them. And it didn't go real well because he talks about, you got my harsh letter and all of these kinds of things. Well, the beginning of chapter 2 Corinthians, he's kind of writing this letter. He's trying to make amends. He's trying to not smooth things over, but like restore the relationship with them, all right? Well, even in doing that, though, he still points out to them, there's an area that I want to encourage you in that you need to grow in, the area of generosity. And so today, we're going to talk a little bit about what does it mean? We are a generous people because, you see, God didn't design, Jesus didn't call us just to be the receivers of grace, but to extend grace through a generous act. In that day and time, a lot of background, but I think it's important that we catch this. In that day and time, there was a huge famine going on in Israel, a huge famine going on. So the church there in Jerusalem, the believers, there was no money. There was no food. And so Paul, everywhere that he was going to start these churches, what he would do is he would say, hey, listen, what I want you to do is I want you to take up an offering, a generous offering. I want you to take up an offering, and I'm going to send my associates around. They'll pick it up, and then we're going to deliver it to Jerusalem so that we can be a part of that. So with all of that in the background now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's look there. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. We're going to read a couple of other verses also. Get your pen ready. A few things I want you to write down. I'm going to do a little running commentary through it. So let's start with verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2 say this. Paul's writing, and I guess I want to make sure that you catch this. He's writing to the church at Corinth, but he's talking to them about churches in Macedonia. Think Philippians, the church of Philippi, and the church in Thessalonica, Thessalonians. So he's talking about them to the church at Corinth. And here's what he has to say. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God. Underline the grace of God. You're going to see that. We want you to know about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. He starts this out in verse 1 by saying, listen, I want you to know about the grace of God in the Macedonians. So catch this real quick. In a passage, chapter 8 and chapter 9, talking about an offering for poor people in Jerusalem, about being generous, he says, listen, I want you to know about the grace of God. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes when we start hearing things about money in church, we start thinking, uh-oh, okay, here we go. Or I think about being generous, I think about many times it's an expense. It's something I've got to do for someone. But Paul says, listen, we need to redefine this because really generosity is all about a grace that is given to us and then a grace that we get to extend. So we have been receivers of the grace of God and now we get to extend grace to others through our generosity. He speaks there and he says, listen, these people in Macedonia, here's what I want you to know. In the midst of severe affliction, and we don't know what the affliction was, but 16 and 17 of Acts tells us all the troubles they went through, all right? They went through all kinds of troubles. In chapter 7 of, like, just the pages before this, chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about the hardship. He talked about the inner struggles that they had, the spiritual warfare. He talked about the people who were coming after them. So they were facing hardship on the outside. They were facing spiritual hardship. Yet he goes on and says, not only in their severe affliction, which he describes it, he says they're a severe affliction, and out of the abundance of joy, they found joy in the affliction. He says, and their extreme poverty. So They were under affliction, these Macedonians. They had severe poverty, he says, but they counted it great joy and wealth to be generous. Have you guys ever noticed, have you ever seen or known someone that though they had little, they seemed to be the people who gave the most? And it didn't matter what it was, whether it was finances or my grandmother was, she was kind of a mean lady, okay? She didn't have a lot of money. She lived on a very fixed income, Social Security, and it was very, very small. But she was willing to give whatever she had. She didn't have a whole lot to give, but what she had, she gave. Have you ever stood beside the bed of someone who was racked in pain, who were dying, maybe today some of you, you're struggling with cancer or you know people who are, and you go and you speak to them, you talk to them, you're by their bedside, and you're asking them, you're talking to them about how you doing, what's going on, and what you begin to hear so often, God is so good. God's been so good to me. He's been so generous to me. And isn't it amazing how people who are in severe affliction, people who are in dire situations, who are followers of Jesus, begin to be just amazed that all they can talk about is how generous he's been to them, how good he's been to them. You know what? So often in our wealth, and we live in the top 1% of the world in wealth. I want you to know that. Even the poorest among us in this room today, you're in the top 1% of the wealth of the world. By the virtue of the fact that you have more than one change of clothes, many of us have closet fulls of clothes. We're some of the wealthiest people in the world. Yet many times out of our abundance, we are so blinded. It's the people oftentimes in affliction. And Paul says, listen, though they were afflicted with severe trials, though they had extreme poverty, it was out of their great wealth that they gave generously, opened their arms, opened their hands, because you see, they understood. Listen, when you have nothing, everything that you have, you view as a gift. These Macedonians that he's describing, remember what I told you they had been saved out of? And when they were saved out of that, their family turned out on them. You're following what kind of God? You're leaving the only worship that we've ever known? They would have probably lost their jobs. No job, no way of supporting family. In fact, no family. Yet Paul is telling them about people in another country, over in Israel, a whole other area in Jerusalem. They're your brothers and sisters. They have nothing. They're in famine. Well, then let us be involved. Then yes, we want to give. And Paul is saying, hey, church in Corinth, I want you to know, I don't know why you've not been giving. I don't know why you've not been generous. I don't know why you're not helping your brothers and sisters. But take the example of the Macedonians who had nothing, severe affliction, severe poverty, and yet they graciously have given over. Listen, it's only for us to understand and grasp that kind of thing. I want you to hear this. It's only the gospel of God. It's only Jesus, a heart that's been changed by Jesus, that can understand that and see that, because we live in a culture today that is all about me, 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 get. And aren't we moving into that season right now? We're moving into that season where we typically celebrate the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the one who stepped out of heaven, God who graciously gave, generously gave his one and only son. Now, I hope this isn't news. God didn't have two or three sons, so he could sacrifice one because he's got two or three others. He had one, and he graciously gave his one and only son. Oftentimes, we think of Jesus being, when I say killed, like he was grabbed and murdered and killed, he was murdered. He was put on a cross. But I want you to know this. He didn't go unwillingly. The scripture says he generously laid down his life. He gave his life for those of us in here who have surrendered our lives to him, whose eyes have been opened. And you realize that gift, that was a gift, a generous gift that we did not deserve, yet he gave it to us. He opened our eyes and we responded to his grace and said, Jesus, we love you. I'm following you. The Holy Spirit, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, generously gave the Holy Spirit to us to guide us into all truth, to remind us of what Jesus said, the scripture says. He would remind you of everything that Jesus said. He's given us the great comforter. And yet so often, we who live in abundance are worried about hoarding and keeping mine. Wow. The words, I mean, they ring in my ears. I want you to hear this. You need to hear this. Yes, I'm a pastor, but I'm not a pastor speaking to congregation and members only. Do you realize I'm a member of this church? I am a member who is receiving something that applies to all of us. And the Lord, while David was teaching here last week, kind of closing out with stand firm, strong message. If you've not watched that online, you need to watch that. He encouraged this body so greatly. But while he was preaching that, I was over at Stewart's Creek preaching this message. They have an 8 o'clock, they have a 9:30, and they have an 11. So 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11, and now I'm here preaching here to the 9 and the 10:30. How many times have I preached that message? This is high math. 5 times. This morning, I'm sitting at my kitchen table, and I'm saying, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you trying to teach me about generosity? And you realize the things that the Lord teaches us, the things he shows us, they're not for our own good. They're not just for us. We don't live in a vacuum. He's giving this to us. So what he's teaching you, he's desiring you to share. Okay, so here's what it is. God is graciously given his life for us, and now he is asking us, hold your hands out. Don't hold on to it. Generously give to those around you who are in need. Go with me, verses 3 and 4. One thing you'll learn, I get kind of caught up sometimes, and I'll lose track of time, but we're going to get out of here, I promise. 3 and 4, right? 3 and 4. Read with me here. For they gave, now catch this, all right? Paul's been describing the Macedonians to the church at Corinth, and he's continuing. He says, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify. Paul says, I can testify. They gave according to their means and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. Now, do you guys know what according to their means means? It means that they gave what they could. I mean, it's kind of whatever they could give, they give. Paul said, I saw it with my eyes. I was there. But they begged us and went beyond their means. You know what beyond their means? They didn't just give out of their ability. They gave in sacrificially, over and above, over and above. Listen, I've been around in situations, I've been in pastoring for several years. And there, again, have been people that I thought, they don't have the money to give. And I want to tell them, I'm not talking about tithing, okay? Listen, that's something we're all commanded to do. I'm talking about giving generously, over and above, begging. And I want to say, no, really, you need to keep your money because you need it. But here's what I've seen. They're the people who are the first in line to say, no, here, take. Do you realize that is a gift to the church? Because generosity is never about an amount. Generosity is never about money. Generosity is about a heart that's been changed because the grace of God sent his son who radically saved us and changed us. Such an extreme grace that the Lord gave us that now then when we recognize and we understand what he gave, I give to you. I give to you. He said, over and above. I don't know if you can remember back dating your wife when you were like trying to woo her, trying to win her. Some of you are dating now. Men, you're dating. Women, can you remember back when that was going on? I kind of describe myself as the Tom Brady in dating. And when I say that, I want you to go with me here. I remember taking my wife, hopefully going to be my wife, out. And we would go out to eat. Well, I wouldn't go anywhere out to eat with her that I didn't already know what the menu was because, you see, I wasn't a man of great means. So you know how Tom Brady, he walks up to the line of scrimmage, and depending on what the defense is doing, he's got two or three calls in his back pocket, right? Well, we'd sit down to eat, and depending on what Amy ordered, she orders this, okay, I've got to go here. And if she orders this, then I've got to change and go here. The guys who are laughing, they know because they've done this, all right? Amy expected that I was going to be the one who would buy because I invited her out, right? If I invite her out, ladies, he invites you out, he should pay. Well, what if I took Amy out? You know, customarily, she could order what she wanted and, you know, got chicken, fish, I don't know, got something to eat, something, you know, a side, got a drink, you know, got her a Coke, a tea, whatever. And then I pay, right? I mean, I'm signing up, I pay, and there we go. We walk out. That I kind of did what was expected, right? I mean, listen, we've been happily married for 30 years, all right? So that it comes out well. But I do know this. There were times when I took Amy out to eat, she never said anything, but I know that she was thinking, there's no way we can afford this place. So we go eat, and what if I start ordering these appetizers as we sit down? Her eyes start getting big. What is this? And I don't let her order. I just say, listen, I want you to get this lady a bacon-wrapped filet. Bring the shrimp with it on the side. Not only that, I want you to bring desserts when we're over. Listen, there were times when I know her eyes were like, whoa, this dude does not have the money for this. But you go over and beyond. You know why? Because I was trying to rope her in. Listen, when you got one fish on the line, you got to reel that thing in. And happily married after 30. Listen, this is what Paul's talking about here at some level. He says, listen, they didn't just do what was customary, not that was within their means. They went over and beyond their means, begging us, please, Paul, we don't deny us the grace to be able to give. This is important for us. And folks, this is exactly right. When you have nothing but Jesus, when you have nothing but Jesus, then you want to give to him all that you can. You say, you can't outgive God. You can't literally give back to him. But you know what he does? He sends people and opportunities where we have the opportunity to be generous and open our hands to others and to give generously so that people might look at you and praise your Father in heaven, the scripture says. Not you, but praise your Father in heaven and bring glory to him. I had the opportunity a couple of weeks ago, in fact, it's been 2 weeks ago, to be in Asia. I was in Central Asia with one of our mission partners. And while I was there, we've been partners with these folks these missionaries for, I guess 5 years now. About 6 months ago, they had their first person to surrender their life to Jesus Christ. 8 years, 8 or 9 years, one person has come to Christ. Got to see that person being baptized. They sent me a picture of it and said, do you remember meeting him? It was awesome. Well, this time I was back, we got invited to go into his home for worship. Now, I want to make sure that you hear this. When I say home, it's two rooms. It's two rooms. He had a wood-burning stove. The people that I was with took a dresser drawer, you know, a dresser drawer, like you put your shirts and your socks in. Took him a dresser drawer. I'm thinking, what does he need a dresser drawer? Is a dresser missing a drawer? Now, you know why they took that dresser drawer? So that he could break it up for firewood. When he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ, his family said, you are no more to us. You are dead. He can't hold a job, not because he's not a hard worker, but because his life has been changed by the gospel of Jesus, and he shares the gospel of Jesus with people. And you know what his bosses do? They fire him. You're killing my business. You're killing me, Smalls. Run him out. We're in this house. There's 10 other people that he's brought. And I have a feast. He has nothing. I had a feast. You know what the feast was? Nuts, fruit, some bread. And he would say, what else can I get you? I can go next door and get something from my neighbor. People in severe affliction, extreme poverty. Know what it means to have nothing, yet Jesus, and I give. And these Macedonians are saying, brothers in Jerusalem have nothing. They're my family. This man was looking at me. You're my brother. I got pictures. He's hugging me, breaking my back because this dude is strapping. He's like killing me. He's like a Karl Meyer hug. He's like, what can I give? What do you need? And yet, I'm convicted daily that those of us who are in great abundance, yeah, we hoard, we hold back, we keep. And have I experienced, do I understand the generous grace of the Father who gave, did not withhold his only son? And yet I want to hold on to stuff and things. And I want you to hear this. Don't buy the lie. Stuff will never satisfy. It'll only leave you wanting. It'll never bring the joy that your heart is desiring. That's why so many people are looking for the 13 version when you still have the 12 version. Because that stuff will never satisfy. It will rust, it will tarnish, it will break, it'll get corrupted, fall in the toilet, and the next thing you realize, I've got to have a new one. But what Jesus gives us is a joy that is unspeakable, and it's only fully realized when we are giving like the Father has given, that we then give. Keep looking with me at some scripture here. Verse 7 and 8 says this, but as you excel in everything, so he's now turned back and he's speaking to the Corinthian church. He says, listen, you've heard about the Macedonians, but now Corinthians, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you. So he's telling them what they're excelling in, okay? He says, see that you excel in this act of what? In this act of grace also. See that you also excel in this act of grace. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. Paul says this. He says, listen, right now, you may have great Bible studies. You may have like excellent teachers. You may have all this love. But if you're not excelling in the grace of giving and generosity, you're missing it. You're missing it. You see, it's so important that we catch that we're not asking LifePoint organization to be generous. You know what we're asking? We're asking all of us. You and me, we're LifePoint. Paul is speaking to us today. Listen, you may have all kinds of love. You may have all, but I want you to hear this. If you're not excelling in the grace of giving generously, we're missing it. A healthy, gospel-centered church is a church that walks out in generosity. That walks in generosity. And you know who? The people who are able to do that? People who really grasp and understand that I have been generously given to by the Father. The Lord said that, told Abraham, he said, I'm blessing you that you might be a blessing. Listen, he was generous to us so that we, in turn, might be generous to others. Chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, Paul says this. He says, and this is in the same letter. This is like, it's called a chapter, but they didn't have the chapter stuff in there. I mean, he's just the next thought in this line. He says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now notice, I want you to hear this. Paul didn't command them with an amount to give. Listen, the scripture says that they gave themselves. In fact, I didn't read this verse, but it says just one verse up. It says that they gave themselves to the Lord first, and then Paul says, and to me, and to us. Now, the inference here is that they were already following the command to be obedient to the tithe because they were honoring. They gave themselves first to the Lord. They were walking in obedience there is what we infer. And then he says, listen, but then they gave themselves to us. Paul, what do we need? Do we need to pray more? Okay, well, I'll open my home. Let's pray. Do we need to go? Do we need to work? What do we need to do to extend the vision of the ministry that, Paul, you've been called here to? What do we need to do for that? Well, Paul then begins to, he says in that next section, make sure that you're giving. You can excel in all these things, but you've got to be a generous people. Paul said, listen, I'm not going to tell you an amount. The amount that you're supposed to give is the obedient tithe, 10%. That's done. But this is an offering. You need to pray and figure out what does that look like for you, you and your wife, you and your family. You pray. What does that look like? But give it generously. Give it generously. Folks, God has called us to generosity. Verse 8, look at verse 8 with me. Back over in chapter 8, or verse 9, excuse me. Verse 9 in chapter 8. He says, for you know the grace. You know the grace of our Lord and Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake, for my sake, for Riverdale's sake, he became poor so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Philippians chapter 2, one of the Macedonian churches. Paul says this. He says that Jesus didn't count equality with God something to grasp, but he humbled himself, took on the form of a man who came to earth. He made himself. He came into this world, put himself under severe affliction, became poverty. Jesus Christ, who today is clothed in splendor, made himself poor for our sake so that we might become rich. You see, the Macedonians understood that whatever they could give pales in comparison to the inheritance that was laid up for them because of the generous grace of Jesus Christ. Folks, today, in light of what an ancient church, their model, in light of what Paul told an ancient church, Corinth, what do we learn today about generosity? What's the Lord speaking there to us? Because I want you to hear this. 2 Corinthians was written directly to a church in Corinth, 80 miles west of Athens. But it has implications for us today about us. So with that, number one, I want you to write this down. What can we learn from that church? Well, number one, we can learn this, is that generosity for the believer should be as effortless as breathing. As effortless as breathing. Have any of you thought about breathing since you've sat down in here today? You haven't. It just happens. That should be our lives. Which means we've got to begin asking, God, would you break the hold? Would you break the hold that this earth, this stuff has on me? Father, I want to be a conduit. I just want to flow. I want to be one that when you give, I can then give. My pastor growing up used to always say that God never gives you a raise to raise your standard of living. He always gives you a raise to raise your standard of giving. God, I want to be able to give. I want to give, Father. Old pastor, D.L. Moody, he pastored back in the 1800s in Chicago. D.L. Moody is credited with saying that for every 100 Christians, one will read the scripture. For every 100 Christians, one will read the scripture. The other 99 will read the one. You catch that? For every 100 Christians, one will read the scripture. The other 99 will read the Christian. Let me ask you this question today. What's the story that your life is writing? What's the story your life is writing? Would people look at you, would they look at me and say, that person understands the generosity, the grace that the Lord gave him? I pray that it be so. I pray that it would be so. Number two, what's the second thing that we can see from this ancient church? Well, number two is this, is that through generosity, we have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those who are in need. I don't know if you realize this or not, but every Friday night from the beginning of November to the end of March, LifePoint Church, you, we house 10 to 12 men every Friday night during a ministry called Room at the Inn at the Smyrna campus. Many of you have served there. Many of you are signed up to serve this year. You're making meals for those men. Men who have nothing, literally. They come, they sleep on the streets except when they're in a church during the winter months. They get fed meals. They get counseling. They literally get haircuts. They get their clothes washed. They get the opportunity for shoes through the generosity, not of the organization, but of us. That happens. Do you realize that in Rutherford County, there are boys and girls, literally boys and girls, who on Friday when they leave school will not eat again until Monday when they go back for breakfast at the school because they get free lunches and free breakfast and free lunches. Did you realize through the generosity of LifePoint in four different schools here in Rutherford County, we give a backpack of food every Friday afternoon so that those children can have something to eat Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. We have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those who are in need. Not just organizationally. Let me ask you this. What are you doing? What am I doing with those that aren't through this organization, with our neighbors, with the people who we sit across from, the needs? Listen, in this room right here, if I went around, all of you could come up with, I guarantee you, if not, it'd be 95% of you could come up with someone that you know today who has a need, a tangible physical need that needs to be met. Let me ask you, what are you doing as the body of Christ to step into that in some way? Because you see, listen, not only are they receiving the grace of your generosity, but you are receiving the generous, the joy of being generous back to them. Number three, look at number three with me, write this down. We get the blessing of being freed from hoarding temporary idols. You know, the heart is an idol factory. The heart's an idol factory. I said this a minute ago, we've got to have the newest version of this when the old version's working great. The shoes I have aren't worn out, but I need three more like them. Listen, it's only during this time. I mean, tell me what man, if you're this man, I want to know, I want to meet you, but what man takes his wife out into the driveway and there are two $80,000 trucks that she gets to choose from? Which one does she want to drive? Yet we're told that's Christmas. That's what it's about. And I want you to hear this. As a follower of Jesus Christ who has experienced the generosity of God in our lives, don't fall for it. Did you realize that the stuff that you have in your home right now, we could go through our homes and we could clean out and give to someone who literally needs and we would never miss it. We would literally never miss it. Don't fall for it. Put it back into the economy of God for those who are in need today. Number four, and we close out. Number four, generosity births joy. Generosity births joy. I can't tell you how many times I've had the opportunity to be the receiver of something. Have you ever received something from someone that you were not, I'm not talking about like a Christmas gift or a anniversary gift. I'm talking about someone who brought you something and you didn't ask for it. You didn't even know you wanted it. You really didn't know you needed it or wanted it, but they gave you a gift. Do you remember the joy that you got? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever given something to someone or been a part of graciously and generously giving? And yet you walked away going, that was awesome. That is what it means to receive the act of generosity and grace and giving. That's what it's about. Yes, we need to be obedient to the tithe. We need to be. Listen, that's the standard that God set. Generosity goes over and above. And when we begin to give like that, we begin to receive so much that we didn't even know we needed. Some of you today in here right now, you're going, okay, I got to process some of this. I don't even know if I can step into tithing. Listen, I always talk to people like about this. And I want you to hear this. If you don't think that you can afford to tithe, I want you to know that you can't afford not to tithe. You're starting with the wrong end. You're starting with the wrong end. If you don't think that you have enough cake to go around the table, you always give the first piece of cake to the person who is the guest of honor. And so often what we're doing is we're distributing the cake to everyone, and we're giving maybe the smallest piece to the one who generously, graciously gave us his one and only son. We need to turn that around. And then on top of that, to be able then to say, not only am I gonna give you the first piece of cake, God, but I'm gonna give cake to everyone around the table and I'm not gonna eat it. If you're like me, many times, you want the first piece of cake and you want it to be the biggest piece of cake. I'm going to give everybody else a small piece of cake so that I have some tomorrow morning with my coffee. God of the universe, who graciously gave, who did not withhold, today, I want you to hear me. Today, for some of you, if you're worried about giving and you've never received Jesus Christ, you've never surrendered, you've never accepted the gift, the generous gift of his son, we don't want your money. Keep your money. Do you know what we want? We want you to know Jesus Christ above all. Today, if you've never surrendered your life, we want to talk with you. I want you to come back to the pastor's area. I don't even know what we call it, but it's out the doors and to the right. I'm going to be standing there. CJ will be out there. Kurt will be bopping around somewhere. We want to talk to you about Jesus Christ. It's the first and foremost thing. Person, greatest gift. Jesus, we love you and we honor you. God, thank you for so graciously giving your son. And may we, God, would you open my eyes? Would you start with me? Would you open my eyes to understand the generosity, the way you've graciously given so that we then might give back to those around us. Father, you've placed us in a community that needs us to be generous. Not for our sake, but so that they will know you, so that you would receive glory. There are people around us who are hurting. Would you help us to step into their hurt with our lives? Would you not let us hoard our time? God, would you not let us hoard our homes? God, would you let us be able to graciously give out of the abundance of things you've given us, that we would give to those in need like you gave to us. Undeserving, yet you stepped into our lives and gave. Help us to understand your gospel, the good news of Jesus. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. How do we respond today? Well, let me tell you first, if you've not